You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Amen, amen. How are you guys doing this morning? That's pretty good, that's pretty good. Let me just give you one shot of this, all right? Good morning, Harvest. Pretty good. We'll see how we do here. Hey, great to be with you guys this morning. My name is Dave Learned, and you ever feel like you go somewhere you've never been, and you're like, I feel like I'm at home. You ever have that experience? That's how it feels to me, and it's so fun to be able to come over. I've never been, I don't think, in Granger, Indiana. I don't know what I was waiting for, but I'm glad to be with you today, and I have had the privilege of being a part of Harvest Bible Chapel now for about 15 years, and three of those as a seminary student attending, and then 12 on staff, and just really so amazed at all that God's doing through His church. And we're grateful to be partners. I'm kind of like your crazy cousin from Rolling Meadows. That's who I am. So, but it's good to be in it together. I can so clearly remember back in the year 2000, the elders of our church came and they said, you know what? We've got a vision. We've got a burden. We've got a passion to begin planting churches. And I thought, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. And then they said, and our goal, Lord willing, is to plant 10 churches in the next 10 years. I thought, okay, should we try one, you know, and just kind of see how it goes? But they're like, no, this is a God-sized vision, and you know the history. I mean, that there are, I think, in the high 70s of Harvest Bible Chapels in America, in North America, throughout the world, and we're just praising Him for the fruit of that. I love your pastor. Pastor Trent's a good friend. We've enjoyed many times together just talking through stuff at church and how can we go further for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a privilege to be with you guys today. Hey, just a little public service announcement. Thanksgiving is 4 days away. Okay, you got that? Everybody? Get the turkey, get what you need to get. I went right after Halloween. I needed to stop at the dollar store. You ever go to the dollar store? I saw a Dollar General right here as I was driving in. Yeah, the dollar store where everything's worth at least a quarter, right? And so I went on November 1st when the kids just got done with Halloween, and here we turned the corner and I went in there to get something, a pack of mints I wanted. And I'm telling you, the morning of November 1st, the whole store decked out like Christmas. And I'm like, I'm sure that about 12 hours ago, this whole place was black and orange and Halloween-ish. I'm like, what happened? And you know, it was interesting to me. I'm like, not only did that happen quickly, but they sort of skipped something, you know, like Thanksgiving. Let's kind of get past that. Let's get on to the next thing. We got some sales to make. We got stuff to get done here for Christmas. I don't want that to be the case for us. I do not want personally or for you individually or for you as a church to skip over what it can be such a great, great season of Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I pastors, they like to alliterate stuff. Did you know that? All right, well, here's some things I like about Thanksgiving. Maybe you do too. Food. Anybody there? Yeah, okay, Micah, you and me. And food, yeah, great food. I love it. Man, that's best of the year. Family, anybody going to spend some time with family in the next few days? I hope you can. I hope you're able to, you know, and if you aren't, I hope you've got some friends that are like family that you can get with. Friends, you know, good to catch up, good to see people, good to take a little bit. I hope you get a little change of schedule here in the next few days. Men, but it doesn't have to be just men. F word. Football, yes, thank you very much. Football needs to be a part of, we're tracking, brother. We're on it here today. Maybe you should be doing this. Football, yeah, it's fun, you know, it's a good thing. And then I just put fun. I mean, board games, card games, throwing the football in the yard, running around, giving each other a hard time. I hope these are all ahead for you. Here's the last one I had, shopping. Oh, wait, they're supposed to be F words. How about frenzy? I mean, what is up with, I can't believe the crazy, what do they call that Friday? Black Friday. Yeah, no thank you. No thank you. I was at Woodfield Mall the other day. I'm like, honey, please don't make me come back here again, ever. This place is crazy. But those are all great things, right? Those are all great things. I hope you enjoy them all. Here's what I would hate to have happen. I would hate to get to Friday, Saturday, Sunday after Thursday, and as you reflect on your own life, or as I reflect on mine, to feel like, you know, there's one big thing I actually missed during Thanksgiving, and it's this, thankfulness. I got so caught up in all those other things and a schedule and the stuffing and the shopping and the where's the best deal and the, and I did not take the opportunity to give God thanks for all that he's done for me. I think, can I just be honest with you? I know for me, I struggle with thankfulness. And I think we all do to some extent. It's sort of a discipline. It's sort of something we got to keep going after in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about today. More important than any of that stuff is our heart of thankfulness. And we need this desperately. Now, this is not just about a day on the calendar. It's more about our heart, but this is a good time of year to bring it back to our attention, all right? So I just want to pray. I want to ask the Lord to lead us, and then we're going to get into God's Word together this morning. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great day. Thanks that we can come into your house today. Thanks that we can gather with your people, that we can hold your word in our hands and sing songs that reflect the cry of our heart today, Lord. We are so, so blessed. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for your faithfulness in these first 3 years, Lord. I cannot wait to see what you have ahead with the people who are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ through this church. Lord, in this time, in these moments, would you stir our hearts, Lord? Would you bring your word to our attention and lead us, Lord? Help us to be people who are growing in our thankfulness to you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible, I hope you've got a Bible or you've got a friend with a Bible. This is Harvest Bible Chapel, right? You knew that? Okay, good. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. You guys with me on that? All right, good. Psalm 100, a familiar psalm of thanksgiving. And here's what I want to do today. I want to just look at five kind of reasons why we can struggle with thankfulness, and I want to look to God's Word to help us to grow in that, okay? That's what I want to do this morning. And I know your church is like this too. We kind of like to fill in the blanks at Harvest. Do you guys do that? All right, well, you got the notes there. If you want to walk along through those, that'd be great. Here's the first thing. Why I struggle with thankfulness. First of all, because I don't give it my all, okay? I struggle with thankfulness sometimes because I just flat out do not give it my all. Look at verse 1, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Love that. A joyful noise, literally you could say a shout for joy. Anybody in here, you're like, I got one of those, I'll share it right now. Anybody?
Praise the Lord.
There you go, brother. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, I'll take that one too. Hey, shout for joy. Shout for joy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth there, it's a universal call. It isn't just for you and me who know and love the Lord. It's for everyone and everything that God has created. He is worthy to be praised. He is good. So a shout for joy. Here's the thing, though. If I'm honest, if you're honest, even in this room, we had two bold, brave souls step up and shout for joy, but sometimes that just doesn't come very naturally. I'm not much of a shouter, you know? It's not really in my core personality. But the thing is this, if I don't work to give God my best, I will always struggle with thankfulness. I will. Let me give you an illustration. Anybody in here like to play golf? Quick show of hands. Great. I do too. Here's the thing. I really want to be good. I mean, I want to be good at golf. But what I do is I play about 3 times a year. And it's not working great for me, you know? Like, I seem to struggle a lot. I seem to hit the ball often and then not find it very often. And but it would be crazy for me to sit and think, well, I have every reason to be good at this game. It's just a little ball. It's just a stick. I have no right to think that I would be good at this because I give it zero attention. I just show up and think I'm going to have it, okay? I think thankfulness is like that. I think that we have to strive to give it our best. Sometimes we struggle because we do not give it our all. I have a question for you. I want you to think about this for your life. What are the things that do get your all? What are the things that do get your best and your first and your most focused energy? You know, is it your work, maybe? Is it your home? Is it a relationship? even your marriage? Is it kids? Those are all good things, okay? But we have to strive, help us, Lord, as brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, to give our best in thankfulness. I don't think that comes naturally to us. Whatever it is you give your focus to, that's where you're going to excel. And we've got a week ahead of us right now. Pastor Trent and I talked about it, and I said, this is where I want to go today. What do you think? He says, I think that's great. Let's prepare our hearts right now that when we come to church next Sunday morning, we've had an exceptional week of thankfulness to the Lord. Give it your best, okay? Give it your best. Now, let me give you some practical ways. I love that one of the things we love at Harvest is not just teaching the Word, but give you some handles to take it home. How do I do this? Let me give you a couple practical ways. First of all, in thankfulness, prayer. Prayer, okay? Now, if you're like me, when you go to prayer, what I often tend to do is, Lord, the things on my heart today, the things I'm seeking you for, and the answers I need, and the provision, and the direction, and the wisdom, here they are. Here comes my list. Are you like that sometimes? But there's a different kind of prayer where you just stop and you pause and you say, Lord, I don't want to do anything else right now but give you thanks for who you are and for what you've done, okay? And I'm telling you, when I discipline myself, when I set aside time, when I quiet my schedule, quiet my heart, I was really blessed to have a couple hours just driving over this morning, you know? It's quiet, it's still, nobody's up to call on the phone, which is great, but just discipline yourself. Lord, I'm grateful for, I'm thankful for. I'd encourage you to pray that way. Here's another way to be thankful. Give testimony. Give testimony. You know what? I'm not just going to know it or even pray it. I'm going to share this with somebody else. I was at our church last night. We do a Saturday night service, and I'm walking down the hall, and I saw a couple, and, hey, how are you guys? What's going on? And they said, listen, we are so thankful. He just got a job. Now, you don't know their story, but it's been 19 months. I've got a child who's 19 months old. That's a long time to be without work. And he's like, we are so grateful. God provided this job for us. I start Monday. I didn't think it would happen anytime soon. So praise God for that. Share testimony. When I tell others of what I'm grateful for, it just stokes that fire. It stirs my heart. Here's another one. Give. Practical ways to stir thankfulness. Give. Okay, give. Give what? Well, give what you have. Give your time, give your energy, give yourself, give your resources for the Lord. If we're grateful, our lives are going to reflect that. There's nothing I have that I wouldn't give, Lord. You've given me everything. And then here's one more. Worship. Okay, worship. I love it that you guys show up. Here we go. Time to worship. Let's fire this up. But that takes a couple of things. If you're going to worship well, you got to make a priority, right? None of you just wandered in here by accident today. You said, I got to get over there to Harvest at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And if I'm going to do that, I better plan this out. And not just a priority, but a plan, you know. I'm going to come, I'm going to give the first of my week, the best of my energy to the Lord. And I would just challenge you to keep growing in this, as we all need to participate when you come to worship. If you want thankfulness to grow in your life, meditate on, sing out some of these songs that we just sang together. The Lord ministers to us then and stirs our heart. We have so much to be thankful for. I think we struggle sometimes just because we don't give it our all. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Why I struggle with thankfulness. Sometimes I struggle with thankfulness because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Okay, right actions actually come easier than right attitudes. Now, I don't know if you're tracking with me on that or not, but look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with what? With gladness. That's what my version says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. There's two actions here, right? Serve and come. That's what we're to do. But it isn't just that. I was so encouraged. I was talking with one of your leaders in the lobby and looking at your information, and I flipped over a brochure, and you know what it said on the back? It said, quality disciples worship Christ. You ever heard this before? I hope so. This is Harvest, right? Okay, good. Quality disciples, they worship Christ, they walk with Christ, and they do what? You guys, you have read this, right? Okay, good. You work for Christ, and that's a great thing. That's part of how we grow. It's part of how we serve. It's what we ought to do. But it's convicting to me because it's not just about the actions. It's about doing it with an attitude that pleases the Lord. We don't God does not for a second need a bunch of crabby Christians who are just going to do their job. You know, here I am, time to set up the worship stage. And I was blessed. Micah was like, you ready? Here we go. Let's worship the Lord this morning, you know. And Lord, help us that we would not just be people who do the right actions, but that we would have the right attitude behind it. Lord, I do this because I love you. I do this because I want to worship you. Let me give you an illustration here. I have four daughters. Yes, it's true. And I am so blessed and so thankful. And we're trying to teach our kids that, hey, honoring the Lord for you means that you need to respect your parents. And you need to obey mom and you need to obey dad. So we got any parents in the house here? Anybody quick? Good, good. Okay, here's the thing. You tell me. If they will do their thing, let's say it's clearing the table or it's putting away the clothes or it's whatever, but they do it with a crummy, grumpy attitude, how pleased do you think I am with that? Okay, let's say 1 to 10. 10, fired up? No, much more like a 1, okay? You gave a 3, you were generous, okay? Listen, I'm not so much concerned that the clothes get in the right place or the table gets cleaned. That's just a task. What I really want them to know is that serving and honoring and obeying is done with a heart a tender heart, a thankful heart, that I'm going to do what I ought to do, but more than that, I'm going to do it with an attitude that's pleasing to the Lord. And I just want you to have a little check in your own life. I had to think about this for myself. Are there any areas where, if truth be told, God looks right to your heart, he says, you know what, you're doing that thing, and you're doing it even for me, but your attitude is, it's not thankful, it's not grateful, and I think we struggle sometimes because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Serve the Lord with gladness. In fact, I'm thankful that in my living room, I stole this with my wife's permission. It'll go back today. We have this little thing, and it just says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And if I can just be honest with you, even with the privilege of serving as a pastor, I can get to a place where I'm like, another day, another thing, another meeting, another this, another... Do you ever get there? I don't want that. I want to be a person who serves the Lord with gladness. Lord, you have done everything for me in Christ. I'm not going to just do the things you want me to do. I'm going to do it in a way that's pleasing to you and with a grateful heart. Dads, you're working hard or looking for work, do that in a way that pleases the Lord. Moms, hang in there, okay? Sometimes it's just plain tough. But no matter what you're doing, Lord, I do this for you. I do this for you. If no one ever sees, if no one ever says thank you, Lord, I'm doing this because I'm pleasing to you, okay? Kids, honor your parents, not just because you're supposed to. Do it because it's right before the Lord, and you get to worship him in the way you honor your parents. I think we struggle because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Our own pastor at my church in Harvest and Rolling Meadows, Pastor James, likes to say this, maybe you've heard him say it, that gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. I love that. Let me say it again. Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. I watch so many people go through so many things, but it is so different to watch someone who's got a grateful heart and a heart of gratitude. I talked about that couple last night. We took a minute right in the hall. Let's pray right now. Let's thank the Lord for this provision of work that we needed so desperately. Those people went through the same tough circumstance that maybe some of you have, but they're doing it, not in an easy way, but they're doing it with an attitude that says, Lord, I love you, and I trust you, and I am grateful for what you do and how you lead me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So as we're getting the food ready this week and cleaning the house and welcoming whoever and running around, Lord, help us to do this with a heart that's pleasing to you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Here's a third thing. Sometimes I think we struggle with thankfulness because, this is really important, because I forget who I am in relationship to God. Okay, flat out. Sometimes I'm struggling with thankfulness because I just forget who I am in relationship to God. Do you see verse 3? Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. You know, sometimes I think we read Scripture too quickly. and we move on to the next thing. Just stop and think about that for a second. Know it in your head, know it in your heart, that the Lord, He's God. And the fact that we can have any relationship with Him is an unbelievable gift. And beyond that, we're the people, we're the ones with sinful hearts, we're the ones with willful choices that rebel against Him, right? It's in our actions, our attitudes, in our nature, actually. The fact that we can have a relationship with the living God, unbelievable. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. I love that. Elsewhere in Psalms 139:13 says that the Lord knit us together in our mother's womb. You know, unbelievable. My wife is starting to knit. I'm like, what are you doing exactly? Well, I'm knitting. Okay, great, honey. Good for you. And but she works at that thing. Oh, it's wrong. I got to pull it apart. I'm going to do this again. I can't believe the diligence. When it's done, it's fantastic. Like, look at that. That's a cool scarf. You know, could have bought it at the dollar store or something. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't tell her I said that. It'd be the $10 store at least. But God's the one who knits us together in our mother's womb. You know what that tells me? As He makes us, He's intentional. He's purposeful. He's careful. He's got a design for the way He's made you. Do you believe that? He does. He wants to use everything He's done and who you are for His glory. We are His. He who made us, we are His. We are His people. Man, that's a huge truth right there. Just stop and think about that. That the God of the universe, the one who knit you together, He is God. He made us. And then He calls us His own. You know? A child of the King of the universe. That's me in Christ. That's you if you're in Christ. My Heavenly Father is the maker of heaven and earth. Don't forget who you are in relationship to God. I love this part. We are His people, still in verse 3, and what? The sheep of His pasture. The sheep of His pasture. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about sheep, okay? Let me just ask you this. In Scripture, we're often referred to as sheep. Flattering or unflattering analogy for us? Yeah, your thumb should go like this, okay? Sheep are not particularly bright. They're not fast. They don't have defenses. They have a lot of needs, okay? Sounds a lot like me. It sounds a lot like you. But, listen to this, we're sheep, but we are the sheep of His pasture. The God of the universe, the one who created all, the one who knits you together, He's the provider, He's the protector, He's the caretaker and the defender for anything you need. I might be a sheep, and that might not be great, but I'll tell you what's great, that the great shepherd is my shepherd. I don't know what you're facing today. I know what would be typical in a room like this. I know there's a lot of tough circumstances, tough times. Lord, I have so many needs. Lord, I blew it. Lord, I need a right relationship with You again. Lord, my relationship with so-and-so got sideways this week. He is our shepherd. We're the sheep of His pasture, which we desperately, desperately need. Sheep left to themselves, they wander off. They wander off, they get into trouble, and don't forget this, they get destroyed by their enemies. There's a very clear and very special way that God protects His people. He watches over them. He's the protector. He's the defender. Do not forget that this week in whatever you're facing, okay? I think we struggle sometimes in thankfulness because we forget who I am. I forget who I am in relationship to God. If you are saved, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, that is enough right there to fill your heart, to fill your mouth, to fill your mind with thankfulness for all of eternity, okay? Not to mention everything else He's blessed us with. He's given us so much. But we cannot forget who we are and who He is, and that He has invited us into relationship. If you're not in a relationship with God, if you've not understood His forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, I got great news for you. It's available to you. Despite the fact that we're sinners, despite the fact that we reject God, He says, Romans 5:8 says that He demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want to stir gratitude in your heart? Just remember that. I did nothing to earn His favor. I never could. But He chose, in His grace, in His mercy, to give His Son, Jesus Christ, as the payment for my sins. And what He asked me to do is to turn to Him by faith, to repent of my sin, to confess Him as my Savior. And this could be the day. What a Thanksgiving day that would be for you this year, if this would be the first time ever that you've given your life to Jesus Christ. I pray it would be true. There's no need to wait if that's you. All right, here's a fourth thing. Why I struggle with thankfulness. And this is a big one. Ready? Just if you're ready, just say ready. Ready. All right, good. I'll make sure you're ready. Here's a fourth thing. Because I want to feel it rather than choose to give it. Okay, you're like, I don't even understand what you just said. Well, let me repeat it once. Because I want to feel it rather than choose to give it. Okay, here's the thing, Dave. I'm with you, you know. I mean, I can read Psalm 100 as well as you can, and I have things to be thankful for, but if I'm honest, I'm just not feeling it, you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what my problem is. I just don't feel thankful. All right. Sometimes we struggle because we want to feel it rather than choosing to give it. Verse 4 has a couple of imperatives. You know what an imperative is? I see a student nodding her head. Yeah, I know what that is. An imperative is something, it's a directive. It's something you have to do, okay? It's imperative. Get up. Get over here. Come on, okay? It's imperative. There's a couple of them right here in this verse. See verse 4? Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks. There's another one. Enter, give thanks to Him. And there's a third one. Bless His name. It doesn't say when you feel like it, when it wells up within you. It says do these things, okay? And it also tells us how. But do these things. Enter His gates. You know, for the Israelites who were reading this initially, you know what they would have been thinking? You're talking literally about going to the temple for worship, okay? Enter His gates. Get up, get over there, make it a priority, okay? Sometimes I think we struggle because we're like, well, I just don't know. I mean, Sunday, I can't sleep in any other day, and I wish it were at noon, not at 10, and I know nobody in this room feels that way, but sometimes I've talked to people like that. And enter His gates, okay? Make a decision. This is a priority. Enter His courts. Give thanks to Him. Discipline yourself to give thanks. Don't wait for the warm, fuzzy response. Discipline yourself, and here's what you'll see. It's amazing how the Lord stirs your emotions to follow right choices, okay? It's amazing how He does that. Have you ever had that experience? Let me ask you this. Where are some other instances where right feelings follow after right actions? Can you think of one? Right feelings. I'll give you one. Working out, okay? Exercise. Man, I just feel like sweating today and being worn out and being sore tomorrow. That's what I feel like, you know? Well, my experience, maybe yours is that way. My experience is it's more of a discipline. This is good for me. This is important to do. But you know what's amazing? When I do it, when I go through it, when I make the effort, when I work hard, you know what I feel afterwards? Man, that was the right thing. That was really good. That was good for me. Here's another one like that. Saving money, okay? Anybody? Now, there might be some people in here who are like, no, actually, I get great joy in saving money. Okay, good for you. But here's more of my experience. My experience is this. Okay, I've got 4 children, and, you know, I'm told that those girls might want to get married someday or go to college or even drive a car or whatever. And, wow. And so here's the thing. I don't necessarily love saying, well, we could go, you know, out for a nice dinner, or we could put that aside for 10 years from now. That isn't like a big emotional thing for me. But you know what? When I make the right choice, you know what happens? Wow, that feels really good to have done the right thing, to think ahead, to plan for the future, to try to provide for my family. Here's another one, helping others. Hey, I got an email last week. Hey, we're moving. You know, we need some people next Saturday morning. Come on over. Well, the truck will be there at 10. Free donuts. I was like, yeah, those donuts aren't free. I got news for you. You got to be moving chairs and couches and beds. There's nothing free about those donuts whatsoever. But in my heart, I can be like, oh, brother, really? I mean, I have some things going on. I have my own life to live. But you know what I have learned is when I make a choice, listen, that's my friend. They need help. You know, what I walk away with afterwards is like, that was really right. That was really good. Listen, thankfulness is like that. Thankfulness is like that. You may not feel it. You might not well up every morning when you roll out of bed, but make a choice to thank the Lord. You'll be amazed to see how He guides your worship of Him in thankfulness. And it does come back to the importance of worship. I'm blessed that you guys are here today, but I don't understand sometimes. I talk to Christians, and I talked to somebody this week, and hey, you know, have you been coming to Harvest? Oh yeah, I do. It just kind of depends on where I am any given week and what's going on. And I sometimes go, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I. Now I get that if you don't know Christ, I totally get that, and I hope they come as much as they're able to. But for a person who's following Christ, we got to make a commitment. Sunday mornings, I don't do anything, but I go to church. I worship. That's what we do as a family. That's what I do as an individual. I start my week with the right perspective, personally and corporately. Thinking about this choice of thankfulness, I was reminded of this. The story of Robinson Crusoe. Anybody read that? And describes a man who spent 27 years, since 1984, he's been stranded on a desert island, okay? That's a long time. By himself, deserted island, I should say. Here's his journal. Here's what he wrote. I now began to consider seriously my condition and the circumstance I was reduced to. I drew up the state of my affairs in writing to deliver my thoughts from the daily pouring over of them, which was afflicting my mind. Can you imagine? Just all that time to think about, oh my goodness, and I'm still here and I'm never going to leave. As my reasoning now began to master my despondency, that's a great sentence, I began to comfort myself as well as I could and set the good against the evil so that I might have something to distinguish my case from one that is much worse. Okay? This is a choice of the will for sure. I stated it very impartially, like a debtor and a creditor, the comforts I enjoyed and the miseries I suffered. Listen to this. So he lists out some complaints. Here's complaint number one. I am cast upon a horrible desert island, void of all hope of recovery. You think you had a tough week? You know, that's not great. That's pretty bad, actually. But then he writes this. Thanks that I'm alive and not drowned as all of my ship's company was. That's a choice, right? This is not great, but I'm so grateful for what I do have, what God has done for me. Here's another one. Here's a complaint. I am singled out and separate from all the world to be miserable. I can relate to that. I feel that sometimes. But here's a choice of thanks. But I am singled out too to be spared from death. God, who miraculously saved me from death, can save me from this condition also. You're like, I don't know if I have that. Well, I'm not sure he had that either. He made some choices, though. Here's a complaint. I have no clothes to cover me. Okay, that's a problem. But I am in a hot climate, where if I had clothes, I could not wear them. I guess that's the other side of the coin, right? Here's another one. Complaint. I am without any defense or means to resist any violence by man or beast. But thanks, I am on an island where I see no wild beast as I had seen on the coast of Africa. What if I had been shipwrecked there? Now here's the thing, it's a silly illustration, but I think it makes an important point. Whatever your circumstance is, you can make a choice to give thanks. I promise you, that whatever adversity, whatever challenge, whatever uncertainty you can find in that, if you discipline yourselves, Lord, I'm thankful. It's been kind of a tough stretch for my family. About 10 days ago, I got a call from my brother, and then pretty quickly learned that my sister's husband had died very suddenly. And brain aneurysm, didn't recover, he's gone. Oh my goodness. Now, he loved the Lord, thankfully, and so you don't need to be concerned for him. He's having a great day today. But he left his wife, my sister, and three kids who are without husband and without dad. That is so tough. But you know what? Every day, I've talked to my sister, how are you doing? You know what? Every day I wake up thinking, I don't have what it takes for today. But at the end of each day, I have looked back and I've seen the Lord direct. I've seen him meet our needs. I've seen him bring peace and comfort and a reminder of the truth of his word. The fact that, she said this to me, I am his and he is mine. You go back to that. That's a horrible circumstance. You pray for her. But you can make a choice. Lord, I'm grateful for what you have given me. I'm thankful for what I do know to be true. I'm thankful that you have redeemed me, Lord. Choice of gratefulness. Think about this. A choice of gratefulness sparks a heart of gratitude. That's what I'm trying to say in that point. A choice of gratefulness sparks a heart of gratitude. And we did this last year as a family. We're going to do it again this week. Just get some time, carve out the schedule, turn off the TV and whatever else, and we're going to spend some time disciplining ourselves to list out literally the things that we're thankful for. This, you know what? This isn't just for my kids, although it's great for them. It's for me. Lord, you have given us so much. You've given us everything in Christ, and we're grateful. A choice of gratefulness sparks a heart of gratitude. And then here's one last one. Why I struggle with thankfulness. Because I'm consumed with the present and the future. Now, maybe I'm just sharing my heart, and you're like, not me. I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, let me tell you how it works for me. I get consumed with the present. The schedule, the next thing, the demands of today, the things I'm uncertain about. And you know what? I get consumed with the future. How is this going to work out? And where is this going? And how is this... We get consumed with the present and the future. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5, Psalm 100. For the Lord is good. You know, Pastor James would like to say, that was a fantastic place for an AM. Amen. No, wait, hang on. Let me give you a try. For the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Sometimes we struggle because our focus is on the wrong things. We are focused on the uncertainty and the challenge of today or the difficulties of tomorrow and the plans for the future. What does God's word say? Remember his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? Who? To all generations. How long, Lord? How long does your steadfast love endure? How long? Forever. Forever. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, Lamentations says. Thankfulness flourishes when I recall God's faithfulness in the past. Do you know that? When I take time to think about the seasons and the times and the ways that God provided for us, I could tell you, I didn't even plan to say this, but I'll just tell you. My wife and I, we were married 3 years, and we're like, perfect, time to start having kids. Great. Well, that was kind of our plan. That wasn't the Lord's plan. You know, and 3 more years later, we hadn't had any of those kids. That was tough, you know, that was a long 3 years. Lord, we would love it if you'd bless us, but, you know, let me tell you something. We had to come to a place for us where we said, more than we want to have our own kids, what we want is to live the life that you've got for us, Lord. And so we lay that down. We don't want it to be an idol. We don't want it. We trust you. You know what? I told you the end of the story already. The God has blessed us with 4 children. He's done exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And we think 4 is great, by the way. So, Lord, thank you for that. And but I've had seasons, you have too, where I go back and I think, oh my goodness, Lord, your grace, your steadfast love, the things you have done, just think about your testimony. I was doing X, Y, Z. I was apart from Christ. I was wandering alone. I was living foolishly. But God got a hold of my heart. He showed me the Savior, Jesus Christ, and brought me to faith in Him. Praise God for that. Steadfast love that endures forever. You know, God knows we need this. There's so many places in Scripture we could point to, but let me just remind you of one. Joshua chapter 4. We're not going to go through the whole thing right now, but write it down and read through it this week. Joshua chapter 4. You know what was going on? God was using Joshua to lead the Israelites to the promised land. That sounds like a great thing, right? Who doesn't want to go there? But you know what happened? They came up against an obstacle. It's the Jordan River. And now what? You know, can't get across this. You know the story? God did a miracle there. He parted the waters of the river so that they crossed. I mean, sometimes you have to stop it. What does that say? It says that they crossed the river. He parted the river and made a way for them to cross. But he did something very important when he did it. He says, listen, I want you guys to remember this. Do not ever forget what I've done for you, okay? I want you to send 12 men, get one from each tribe. I want you to go back in there, into the river, and I want you to get a stone of remembrance, okay? A stone? Yes, I want you to get a stone. I want you to bring them all out, and I want you to put them right here on the bank. Why? So that in days to come, you can bring your children, you can tell the story, you can remember God's faithfulness to you, the miracles He's done for you. I got to believe that there's some things you've got rattling around in your heart and in your head, and I would just encourage you to stop and memorialize those things for yourself or for your family. We've done this in different seasons of just even keeping a little jar of little slips of paper. Lord, you met our needs here. Lord, you provided this. Lord, you answered this prayer. Hanging on to those things because there are other days when we need to go back to the truth and be reminded of who He is and what He's done. A monument to what God has done. Now, so let me just give you a very practical challenge on this point for this week, okay? I want to challenge you individually or with your spouse or with your family to set aside some time to get a blank sheet of paper, or here's a big whiteboard. You can do it however you want to do it, except you can't take that. It has to stay here, right? Okay. Get something in front of you and carve out some time, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to discipline ourselves to remember and to give thanks for all the Lord has done for us, okay? You tell me at the end of this week, I'd love to hear it, if that doesn't stir your heart, if those right actions don't lead in the right emotions and the right attitude and the right response. The times I have done this, I'm amazed at the Lord's ability to lead me, to remind me, and it puts everything else into perspective. There's some reasons why we struggle with Thanksgiving, because I don't give it my all. If that's you, step it up. More attention to Thanksgiving, more attention to a thankful heart. Maybe it's because right actions come easier than right attitudes. Maybe we struggle because I just plain forgot that I am a child of the King. Or because I'm emotional about it. I just wish I felt it more. Okay, great. Well, instead of that, choose to give thanks and watch your emotions follow. Or because I'm consumed with the present and the future and forgetting what God's done in the past. Now, with all that in mind, God answers those challenges right here in His Word. And I just want to read it one more time for you. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are just thankful for Your Word today, Lord, that You know our hearts, You know our challenges, You know where we fall short, and yet You bring Your Word right to our hearts, right on time. And I just pray that You would find in me and in each person here, Lord, a growing choice and response of thankfulness. Lord, it's right in front of us. We've got a week here set aside, and I pray that we would not rush through in the all of the other fun things and good things you blessed us with, that we would not miss the opportunity to be a thankful people. Because we have every reason, Lord, to be grateful to you. Lord, I want to pray for any person today. They hear this, they maybe even agree in their mind, but their heart is hurting, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to them. Remind them that even in that, your grace is sufficient for them, Lord. Your power is perfected in their weakness. And we are thankful, Lord. Lord, thank you for your blessings upon this church. Thank you that now 3 years in and so close to going home to a new place to worship, Lord, I just pray that there would be so much ahead that you would do, Lord, that the surpassing power would be of God and not of man. Lord, help this to be a season of growth in our hearts. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be thankful. We give you all the glory, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.